highest, O Lord God. There's none like you in all the earth. Who can be compared to you, O Father? And your word is a delight to our hearts today, food to our spirit, man. You build our faith in this hour, Father God. You cause us to increase. We believe in your word, Father God. We thank you for this good word to the Romans, and it helps establish them in the faith and in truth and in love and in proper doctrine and proper ways of living amongst one another and living in the world. Father, you exalted your word in them. You were faithful to them, Father. We thank you that we can extract from your word the things we need for our life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Back to Romans. Very difficult in a sense. Alan will tell you, ask him. You try to review, and it ends up being your message. Am I right, Alan? A little bit. So we just want to do a little thought. There's things we know, there's things we're not sure of. In my view, whether you believe it or not, Paul wrote this book long before he ever got there. We do know that this is not his church. We're pretty convinced of that now. Maybe I have some of you looking into that, and you're pretty convinced of that now. His purpose. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he write a letter to these people? Well, he kind of ran out of places to preach. If you want to read the narrative in the book of Acts, he didn't really. Do we ever run out of a place to preach? There's people everywhere, all over the world. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be a light and a salt of the earth. Light, the righteousness that has come upon you is your light. We'll see that in Romans. It's kind of like not a serious doctrine that we live in, but the righteousness has appeared to you in the form of Jesus Christ, and it is the light that you walk in. It certainly, oh my gosh, it certainly isn't my righteousness. We have to know that. There's darkness in any righteous act I try to do, because this is the way it is. God's righteousness has been revealed. This is what we find out in Romans. It's the righteousness of God that has been revealed. So he says, I'm under obligation, both to the Greeks, that's who was up there in Rome, Romans, Gentiles. His heart was so for the Gentiles. Lord, just change my heart that much that I care about a lost and dying world. Just change me to that degree. There's so many things we need to change in. Would you change that about me, that I actually care about someone's soul and I'm not living for myself anymore? Can we just be changed that much? That will be a great start for our lives. So here he's going to establish them as he goes through chapter 1, consequences of unbelief. He's moving forward with this. He's dropping seeds. We're about ready to get into meat and potatoes now here really soon, but we have to wait till we get to Romans 4 to really get some serious meat and potatoes going down here. But he drops the seed to Romans 4 everywhere he's gone so far. Seed. And so I sometimes use the term spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. It haunts me. I gave that thought to Brother Ralph one time, and he keeps telling me from time to time, Randy, that keeps haunting me. How did Paul read things in the Old Testament, storylines and narratives in the Old Testament? Things about Abraham, things about David, things about the law, things about the prophets, things about the events that happened in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden connect them with a broad, bold line right to Jesus Christ. How is it? Well, it's a spiritual thought given to us in the Old Testament, and he's mixing it with words, spiritual words that are coming out of his heart, because they've been ignited and revealed. Revelation, revealed is important. It's one thing just to give a message, because I can only give information. I can only read you the story. I can only be stirred by, thank God, hopefully, anointings of God. I can tell you right now, Alan doesn't want to stand up here without the anointing of God, and neither do I. And neither will Brother Dan, who's going to come and visit with us today. If you've read your bulletin and you know what's going on today, you know, Brother Dan is going to be dependent on an anointing to preach and teach the word. This is And Paul was depending on this anointing as he was penning this, that this word would go into them and that they would have understanding and clarity, so that when he finally gets there, 5 years from now, they will already, the seed will have been sown. And anybody who's studious enough and inquiring enough, inquisitive enough, and stirred enough will search the scriptures, and God wants to reveal it to you just like he wants to reveal it to me. There's no partiality with God. That's part of this narrative. You have to understand, Jews, Greeks, God does not see a partiality. There is no partiality with God. There is none. He's making that point as he goes through here. That's actually a pretty strong point. Oh, yes, but we're circumcised. Okay. How did that make you feel? It doesn't mean anything, Paul says. It does, but it doesn't. You see, circumcision, we were blessed to have this covenant. We were blessed that we're getting to Romans 4 in a minute, Brother Steve. This covenant, this is what we're getting to. He always asks him, where you at, Randy? I like that, because he's putting his guitar away and he doesn't hear me say anything, you know, and so he's wondering where we're going. This covenant of circumcision is going to come out in chapter 4. This is going to be important to their lives. We have circumcision. You'll see Old Testament narrative relative to the circumcision. You remember Abraham was going through the land and he had a daughter? I'm sorry, Jacob had a daughter. Jacob had a daughter. He was going through the land, and some of the people of the land thought she was pretty hot. And they wanted her. This guy wanted her. He said, oh, well, we can't give you our daughter. Some of you, I know you're Bible students. I know you're Bible students. If you don't know this story, if you haven't heard this story, I would definitely encourage you to go read this story. If I was more prepared, this just dropped into my spirit. Maybe Alan knows where it's at. This just dropped in my spirit to say part of this narrative where Jacob was going through the land and they saw his daughter Dinah. She was pretty nice. And the people of the land thought so. And so one of the king's sons in the land that he was sojourning in said, can we have her? Because you see, that's the spiritual rule. If I have a daughter, she belongs to me. She does not belong to you. You do not touch her. We don't think that way in America. You think it's free-for-all, that you have a right to do this and that, but you do not. Property is important to God. It's important still. It's still, and this thing of family and having children is still, there's an authority of the Father that does not go away. It's been given to you. If you're a father, you have authority over your children. You have authority in your house, but that's, I'm drifting. Bring me back, Lord. Anyway, they wanted this girl. They said, oh, because the point is circumcision. We can't give her to you. You're not circumcised. Right? This is what they said. If you remember the story, it was important that they were not circumcised, but Jacob's house was circumcised. So they said, oh, we can do that. They broke out the knives. They were all circumcised. And while they were in pain and sore, two of Jacob's sons went in there and slaughtered a whole bunch of them. Says, you're not touching our daughter. Shame on you. But anyway, interesting story. It makes a difference. Circumcision in their mind, in this time when Jesus was, in this time when Paul was, I'm sorry. Circumcision, uncircumcision mattered. Paul says, no, it doesn't. God is not partial. He's bringing them to new light and revelation of what is important. Faith is important. Faith in Jesus Christ is what is important. Moving on, there's no partiality. Chapter 2, chapter 3, he begins to talk about the law, qualifying what the law is. Very important parts as we move forward to chapter 4. So what is a Jew? He says, what is a Jew anyway, by the way? I want to know that. He brings clarity to that. And what benefit is it to be circumcised? He brings more clarity to that. He's getting to his point. He's moving forward with this narrative that he has. He's educating him on how, in the mind of God, what was really working. The point and purpose of the Jew. This is going to make a difference as we get into chapter 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 as we move forward. This is laying a foundation for moving forward. It's not just we take in certain scriptures out of certain places and just memorize them and tuck them away in our vault, and that way if we need them, we spit them out. That's not the way. Do you really understand how God is working here? So all the world is guilty. See, God is the judge, and he explains this to you. He's the creator, and he's the judge of all mankind. And he's even written in the conscience of the heart of the unsaved and the unbeliever the law of God. They have a right to choose good and evil. Oh, they can't choose good and evil because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Yes, they can. They can't be saved because that's what you need. Faith in Jesus Christ brings salvation to your life and opens up the window for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come into your life. This is what we need. I'm just trying to offer clarity in things. But there's a lot of people that do good things in the world. We know that. So how does that fit into the narrative? This is how it fits in. God's not partial. He is the judge. He will judge according to every man's conscience. And he will judge a man that he is led to Jesus Christ, and that he confesses and he dies at the cross like Jesus did. I give up my life like Jesus did. I give up my life. And that's offered to me salvation. More clarity as we move through this, okay? The Jew just is like the Gentile. The law condemns you, because if you don't live by it, then what good is it? What's it for? Condemnation. It's the law of condemnation. So, moving forward, chapter 3, chapter all the world is guilty. Justification by faith, this is so important. Being justified, verse 24, in chapter 3, being justified as a gift. Oh, God, this gift of justification. It's like you going to court. You have a citation against you. You go to court, and the judge hits the gavel with his... Or is that the gavel? What's the gavel? That's the gavel. What's the thing he hits? Don't know. Anyway, he got the thing, right? That's good. He hits the thing. He says, you're free. Everything's absolved. It's like it never happened. What a happy day for us, right? It's a happy day that your sins are forgiven. Dwell upon that all the time. Thank you, Lord. Your mercies are new to me, that you've forgiven me for my sin, O Lord God. I thank you for cleansing me. I thank you for justifying me in the eyes of the Lord. Justification was a gift. It says, by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. Verse 25, whom God displayed. This is really interesting. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, or if I can use another word there, I'm not really changing the translation here, but just to make more sense, a substitution, propitiation, a substitution in his blood through faith. God substituted his son for you. Guess what? You're going to hell. Oh, no, you're not. Jesus went. And he substituted his own life and gave his own life for all of us, for the world. This is what Romans, being established in the faith, this is what Romans is, the book of Romans is trying to convince these people. This is what we have. Because of the forbearance, God forbear. He held back. He's doing that right now. He's holding back his judgment right now, populating heaven with people if we care to go and witness. He will populate heaven with people who will hear a word and testimony from you and me, and he will populate heaven because they'll believe in Jesus Christ and they'll say, thank you, Lord, for saving. He passed over the sins previously committed. Whatever I did, he's passing over them. He's washed them away. He's cleansed them. It's like they weren't done. For the demonstration, I say, God was demonstrating his righteousness. This is how he rolls. He makes you righteous. He justifies you. This is the God that we serve. He does this. Demonstration at the present time, now, right where we live, right where we're at. He's presented this righteousness to us so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who, see, it's not to everybody, but it is. It's to whoever has faith in Jesus. If you don't have faith in Jesus, doesn't count. This is why we need to tell people about what Jesus has done for us. He went to the cross. So we're doing that, right? So you can boast. Oh, Jesus saved me. No, where is boasting then? It's excluded. I didn't do a thing. I just believe God. Abraham didn't do a thing. He just believed God. That's what we're getting to in chapter 4. Longer intro than what I wanted here. Is God the God of the Jews only? He's wrapping up this point about Jews and Gentiles. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is that the only ones that are going to be saved? He says no. The Jews and the Gentiles. All the world will be saved. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. What we know, what was God's promise to Abraham? I will make you the father of many nations. Many nations, many tribes, many tongues will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul is not ashamed of, that he said in chapter 1, it's the power of God unto salvation. This is the same power that you're speaking about that you carry with you. Interesting. Is he God of the Gentiles also? Yes, Gentiles, since indeed God who will justify the circumcision, don't miss this, by faith, and the uncircumcision, that's me, through faith. He's one. It's the same God. By faith, the Jews will be, the circumcision will be saved, and through faith, we will be saved. The promise, they had the great and precious promises of God. There's promises you have, but they're in light of, I'm a Gentile, not a Jew. Do we nullify? This is interesting, because does that mean the law is in effect? This is what people think, the law is done away with. Paul's going to say, nah, it's not that. No. Do we then nullify the law through faith? It's a confusing statement, but it's not really. Because if we understand the purpose of the law, oh my gosh, it makes sense now. The law makes sense now. It says here, do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish it. That God is righteous. To do that, he is the judge. He can create the law that's going to be our schoolmaster, which is getting ahead in Romans. You see, we're going to see that more in Romans as he brings the light of the truth of what the law is all about. Is there salvation in the law? Yes or no? No, there is not salvation in the law. There's only judgment. Its salvation is in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't do away with the law. The law is still the law because it's God created the law. It's good and righteous. Matter of fact, that's part of him. It's part of his character. The great and precious words that he'd given them back in times of old, in the forefathers, other nations were going to look at them and say, what are these great laws that this nation is walking in had they been obedient to them? Chapter 4. What shall we say then? I love this. I preached this a couple years ago or whatever. What shall we say then that Abraham, chapter 4 of Romans, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? What did you find out, Abraham? What did you discover? What did you uncover? What has been revealed to you, Abraham? I preached it along that line because I thought, well, I never asked myself that. What did Abraham find out? What did he know that he didn't know a minute ago? What was revealed to him? For if Abraham was justified by works, things that he does, me, the same thing. If my life is justified by the works that I do, then I have something to boast about because I did that. I built that. I made that happen. I was kind here and I was a blessing here. Well, we won't talk about the negative things that we are, right? We'll talk about the good things. I help them move. You know, I picked that. I rescued that kid out from in front of the car. I fixed that little girl's bicycle. You know, these wonderful and good things that we do, and they're all wonderful and good. But see, we have something to boast about. God's not interested in that. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. God said something to him. This is a story. This, when I would read this, although I'm stuck in a narrative here, when I would read this, I would say, let's go back to Genesis and let's look at that. Let's look how this played out. Because these are spiritual thoughts that Paul put into spiritual words that are making his entire case for this book. Spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. It was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, I've thought about this on my way over here. His wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. Now I get a paycheck. I got a little part-time job happening, a little part-time gig going. I get a paycheck for the gig. Now if I would go into that place, some of you know, but can you imagine this? We'd go into our sister's restaurant and she would be hosting, and she hands me a gift card for $50 to eat there. Did I earn that? No, it was a gift. So, but her employees would walk in and they would get their paycheck. She would hand them their paycheck. They earned that. This is the difference. They earned that. They earned that payroll check because they slaved over those tables. And they were helping her clients and her customers. You see, and this is the thing, the difference between earning and boasting or receiving something. Now, the one who works, his wages credited as a favor. But what is due? But to the one who does not work but believes him who justified the ungodly, his faith is considered righteousness. It's credited as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the man whom credits righteousness apart from works. Again, we see these little things here that want to lead us to the psalm and read the psalm. Go ahead and follow them. As Alan would say, that would be some homework for you, you know, to go and look in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalm 32. Let me check here quick so I'm not, yes, Psalm 32 talks about this. Here's a little snippet of it. Blessed are those, I talk to people sometimes. How are you today, Brother Paul? I'm blessed. And then if I would be that guy, I would say, well, why? Sometimes I am that guy. But in this case, I'm not trying to be that guy. Well, tell me, why are you blessed? Psalms 32 has the reason why you're blessed and has the reason why I am blessed. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I understand. I'm in a place today that I've been forgiven by God. He has blessed me. That's why I'm blessed. Whose sins have been covered. He's washed me away, washed my sins away. Gives me an opportunity to praise him and give him thanks today. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will not take into account. You are blessed, brother, because the sins that you committed in your life, he's not even looking at them. He's cast them away. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then? It's a question. Is this? This is a question, right? Right? Am I right? It's a question. Is this? He's about ready to come to a question. So he wants you to think. I say that all the time. Think about this, Ralph. Think. Is this blessing then on the circumcised? Because this is the topic he's been talking about. Or the uncircumcised also? Which? Or both? What is it? Make up your mind. Think. What has God done for you? I think about what God's done for me all the time. I know you do too. What has God done for you? Is it on the circumcised or the uncircumcised? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? How? How? Let's look at the story. Let's find out how it was credited. Well, you'll have to go back to Genesis to look at that. right? Was it when he was circumcised or uncircumcised? This is the question you have to ponder. When Abraham was believing God and praying to God and God was speaking to him, was it during the time in his life when he was uncircumcised, or was it in the time of his life when he was circumcised? He wants to get us to think about that because it's revolutionary. You think you have to do everything right before God will save you, but actually he wants to save you so that he can create within you a right spirit that you will begin to do things right and glorify him with your life, because your life is not your own. He's going to get to that as we go through Romans. Not while circumcised, he says, but while uncircumcised, and he received the sign of circumcision. It was a seal. It sealed him because he believed God. This remembrance of what he was about ready to go through was going to seal him. Now we have a seal, but let me move on here. A seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. This is the point. This is what Romans, the people in Romans needs to hear. The churches in Rome, Paul was bringing this light and revelation to them that they might understand where their faith stands. It will establish you that you know that God has forgiven you and he's not partial to any, and that he's going to carry this great salvation everywhere he goes, and so will you. It says he received this circumcision as a sign of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father. This is again the point. Is Abraham the father of the Jews? No, he's the father of us all by faith. If you want to cling hold to faith, if you're not going to walk by faith, then he's not your daddy. Jesus talked about that. If Abraham was your father, you would have believed in me. Let's connect the dot. Can we connect the dot in the gospel? Isn't that what he said? He said, but you're of your father, the devil. That's who birthed you. But they were really, by blood, children of Abraham. Not in Jesus' eyes, they were not. If you would believe in him, if you believed you were a son of Abraham, you would believe in me. Same with Moses. Moving forward. And the father of circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision, but to those who follow in the steps of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. That's the steps we follow in. We follow in Abraham's footsteps. He was a man of faith, and that's what you are. You're a man of faith. You're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. That's what makes you connected to Abraham. For the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would be the heir of the world, was not through the law. 480 years before the law was even given. This is Genesis. The law's not going to happen until Moses' day. And the 15th chapter, actually, in the book of Exodus, way into the book of Exodus, we're going to be introduced to the commandments and the laws. But Abraham was way back here in Genesis. Through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. How can you nullify faith? You cannot. Once faith is out there, it's going. It's going. It's moving. It's growing. Faith grows. Let's keep moving a little farther here. For the law brings about wrath. That's the point. The point is God is the judge and he's going to judge the world. Well, how can he judge the world if he doesn't have anything to judge the world to? So he brings the law in. It brings law and it brings righteousness. God's righteousness is the law. He has the right to judge. and he will judge the world. The law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. If he wouldn't have law, how could he judge the world? But salvation doesn't come from the law. It comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Keep moving. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. All the descendants are going to receive this, not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, all of us. The father of many nations, he told Abraham he was going to be. But also those who were of the faith of Abraham. Those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written. Again, you have to jump back to Genesis. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him. Right before the living God is a testimony. He said it to him, whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead. Now be careful here. I know at certain points in time, people are reflecting this particular situation to Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, but it's not about that. That isn't an event, that is an issue, but Paul's speaking in terms of him not having any children. He's old, and his Sarah is old, and her womb is dead, nada, nothing coming from her. The circumstances, we do not know. We only know what happened when God's hand came upon her. This is going to be for many years of her life, 24 years. She's going to be with deadness in her womb. She has not had a child yet. None. The story and the narrative is in Genesis. Let's go farther. In the presence of him who we believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. He promised him that he would give him a son. God promised Abraham, and there's more to the narrative, to the story. Oh, make my servant my son, and in him you can bless everybody. See, he tried to do things. This is in the spirit for you, Brother Steve. He tried to do things in his own, you see. Abraham did. And he thought his servant, God gave him a plan and a thought. And he began to run with it. But it was the wrong thing to do. We have to wait on the Lord. God had a different plan in mind, and he has not revealed it to him yet. But he's moving there. So look at the narrative in Genesis. He wanted his servant. He thought, oh, well, I have this servant. And he is so faithful. He's amazing. I have the best servant on the planet. And he was amazing, this servant of his. So, I'm sorry, I slipped his name. It starts with an M. If anybody remembers the servant, go ahead and shout it out. I'm pretty sure I'll know it when I hear it. Anyway, this servant of his, that wasn't God's plan. Sometimes we run ahead of God and we think that we're doing the right thing. And it's not the right thing. God was going, no. No, God said to him, no, it's going to be your seed, a child from Sarah. This is what's going to happen. So it says here, he calls the things into being which does not exist, in hope against hope. I hope this is working. In hope against, he kept trying. Hope never gives up. It keeps trying. Keep trying. Keep trying. You hope, 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 hope. Always hope. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope, family members, neighbors, whatever, to receive the gospel, to hear a word from you, something fresh from you. Don't give up hope. Don't give up on people. Keep trying to bring them by the love of God, mercy, passion of God. Keep giving them hope. He says, it is written, father of many nations. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 18. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of, he wanted to become a father of many nations. But this thing wasn't working. In him, he could not see any increase. Increase comes by faith. Just, that's a spiritual thought. Increase comes by faith, not on your own works. He couldn't see this happening in his life. It says, a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. See, God spoke it to him. So what has God spoken to me? What has God spoken to you? Do you think it's going to come to pass? Well, let me shock you. And then I will agree with Alan, who's saying, yes. Alan, see, Alan's already in faith. Thank you, Alan. But if you give up hope, you're going to struggle. You're going to be on the struggle bus because you gave up hope. Hope is that blueprint for that faith that Alan is shaking his head about. Yes, it will come to pass, Brother Alan says. Yes, it will come to pass. What has he spoken to you? It will come to pass. It will come to pass. But you can't give up hope. And he didn't give up hope. Against hope, he believed in hope. So shall your descendants be. That's all he had to stand on. You will have descendants. You will be the father of many nations. Without becoming weak in faith, this is your classic faith teaching. The books or faith books are full of this instance. It's not resurrection. Well, it is. It's a resurrection of Sarah's womb, if you don't mind. The seed was deposited into Sarah's womb, and life came forth from Sarah's womb in the most traditional sense, not like the Holy Spirit of God came upon the Mother Mary. That was different, because not from her womb. The only thing that could come from her womb is a fleshly baby. If she was impregnated by a fleshly man, she will have a fleshly baby. But she was not. That's what makes it different. Because God needs a pure salvation, a pure blood, his blood, sacrificed for you and me. Let's finish this up. It says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Let me think about this body. How has it been working lately? He contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. He wasn't feeling it. He just wasn't feeling it. I'm sorry. This is what it's saying here. Nevertheless, he had hope. Hope will carry you places where doubt and unbelief don't even know. They don't know anything about that. Fear, doubt, and unbelief have no seed of hope in it whatsoever. So you have to have hope in the Word of God. It says, now as good as dead, his own body now as good as dead. He was 99. He was about 100 years old. Deadness of Sarah's womb wasn't working for her either. Yet with respect. Do you have respect for something? What do I have respect for? What did God say to me? What was God's word to me? What do I have respect for? The prophetic word that has been spoken to me. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body and Sarah's body, dead. Verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, do not let loose of the promises of God in your life. Do not. Never. Never ever. Never ever. If you don't mind, this isn't really a negative statement. It isn't. Think about it. Take it to your grave with you, because you will probably inherit that promise before you go to that grave. Because we are all going there, you know. You do know that, right? I'm not trying to, unless the Lord comes back again, we are all going to wind up there. But that's a great day for you. You're going to graduate. You're going to be with the Heavenly Father. You're going to be with the angels. You're going to be with your friends. You're going to be with people who believed alongside of you and had hope with you, prayed with you, saw accomplishments and things of God done through your life and their lives. This is what your future is. Heavenly places. Yet without hope, he, respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is classic faith teaching. How's your faith working? Is it growing? Are you giving glory to God for it? Have you not given up hope on it? Are you confessing the things that God has said to you? This is all of us. This is me in my realm of clarity. Whatever I feel like I'm moving in or believing God for, what am I believing God for? I'm not believing God for the same thing you are. Now, maybe if we come together and you want us to agree about something, now I am believing God for the same thing you are believing for. That's how it works. This is that power of agreement. So he goes on to say here, verse 21, and being fully assured, this is classic faith teaching, fully assured, not partially assured. You know, give me a glass of water, and you go like that, and it's like, that's not a glass. Fill it up! Fully assured, fill the glass to the top. That's what I want, a full glass. Fill me up today, O Lord, being fully assured that what God has promised, he was able to perform. Because if I could do the things that God has told me to do, I would, but I can't. So he has to help me. God is my help. We sing that song. God is my help. Very present help in time of need. Let's finish up here. Now, it says, therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only. This is really kind of interesting. Because he throws this in on you, and it's like, Abraham, God would he want it? But it wasn't for him. It was for me. And so he dared to believe God for the promises of God for his life, but it carried through the generation and touched your life and my life. This is what's wonderful about this. Not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. We've been just, God looked at down at the, on the third day and he said it was done. You paid the price, my son, my beloved son, you paid the price. Justification has been won for the world. So Father, I thank you for your loving kindness for us, towards us, your mercy, your graciousness to us, O Lord God. Father, inspire us that the things that are happening on the inside of us are a blessing to us, but that's for others. Lord, that we can carry the things you're doing on the inside of us to a lost and dying world. So give us opportunity and open doors for us, Lord. Give us the keys to someone's heart, Father. And those loved ones that we're not giving up on, Father, we have hope for their salvation. Those people at work, we have hope for their salvation. Lord, continue to speak to us by your Spirit and open up a way that we can bring the love of God to them and show them what great things was done on the cross of Calvary. Open display, Father. You displayed him openly for the world to see and raised him from the dead. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.